If I was thinking of a Bible reading to give to any new soldier, apart from those verses that I read at the beginning of Philippians, I'd turn to Matthew chapter 28, the very last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. And in the very last verses of Matthew chapter 28, from verse 11, we read these words: "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you. I am with you to the ends of the earth and always.'" Amen. There's a great passage for any new soldier. Go, make disciples. He is with you to the end of the earth and always. The great commandment given at the end of Jesus' ministry as the final instruction to his followers before he left them, it's called a call to mission, but it's also a promise in there that they'll be equipped for mission. It's a simple word, go. That's all he says, go. And yet down the ages, scholars have debated the meaning of this phrase. Students of New Testament Greek appear to be very split into its meaning. When he says go, is it a call to be missionaries? Is it a call to go intentionally out from the place where we are now to a new place with the purpose of sharing the gospel? Is that what it means by go? Well, I guess that had to be in Jesus' thinking, because he specifically mentions going to all nations. And this small group of followers were actually presently in Jerusalem. So the call to go must have been for them to purposely leave Jerusalem and to go to other lands to spread the good news. It was a call to intentional mission. But on the other hand, what about the other way it could be interpreted? Does this call to go suggest that our mission and our evangelism cannot be considered as a separate activity, and instead has to be integral to our daily living? Rather than it simply be go, maybe it should be translated as you go. Not just go, but as you go, make disciples. It's interesting that a little bit earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 10, you'll read the story of that first sending out of the 12 disciples. It was while he was teaching them what they should be. But in that time, on that occasion, he used that phrase, as you go. He said this to them: Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the message, 'The kingdom of heaven is near.'" As you go, proclaim. Is this what Jesus means when he says here, go? That as you go about your daily work, as you go about your home life, as you go about your life in school, you have got to live in such a way that you promote the gospel, and in so doing, then you will make disciples. Well, I'm no Greek scholar, but part of me believes that actually, it's got to be both. It's got to be go intentionally, but it's also got to be as you go. One thing that cannot be mistaken from this commandment of Jesus is the use of the word go in whatever form. We cannot wait for people to come. You know, God himself shows us the true meaning of mission in that he is a God who goes. God didn't wait for us to come to him. He's actively come to where we are. He's discovered who we are, what we need, and it's him who comes to us. In the sending of his son into the world, God has come to us. God is a God who goes. We are here because God has moved towards us, into our midst, and in love has drawn us back to himself through Christ. God is a God who goes, and he asks that we do likewise. I read this quote from Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, or the retired Archbishop of Canterbury, and he says this: mission is certainly not just the exercise of a kind of hyperactive communication strategy, but neither is it simply sitting and hoping somebody might notice. Don't wait for them to come. Don't wait for people to arrive. Travel. Look for opportunity. That's a great phrase to give to any new soldier, isn't it? As I've commissioned you as a new soldier today, travel. Look for every opportunity. As you go, make disciples. Having spent time looking at the word go for the first bit of this message, I now have to tell you that it's not the main verb of the sentence. The main action verb of the sentence is the second part, make disciples. Listen, if you've been part of any church for long enough, you will know people who are totally committed to that church once. And yet, 5, 10, 15, 20 years on, they're nowhere to be seen. They're not in any church, not ours, not anybody else's. We still know them. We still have friendship with them. They're lovely people. But actually, they're not disciples of Jesus anymore. Making disciples is about shaping people who are willing to go on learning about God. That's what a disciple is. You know, Jesus, in the Gospels, he never talks about making members. He never talks about recruiting people to sign up. He wants disciples. He wants people who are willing to go on learning, learning, learning about God, learning his ways, becoming like him. That's what he wants. I read the story the other day of a mother and her son. The mother was in the kitchen doing the washing up, and she was watching her son, Johnny, in the back garden. And he was playing church. And he was playing church with their cat. And the cat was sat quietly on the lawn, and Johnny was preaching away to the cat. She smiled and she went on about her work. And then about 10 minutes later, she heard this loud meowing and hissing, and she ran back into the kitchen, looked out the window, to see Johnny baptizing the cat in a tub of water. She called out to Johnny, "Johnny, stop that. The cat's afraid of water." Johnny looked up at her and said, "Well, he should have thought about that before joining my church then, shouldn't he?" You see, Johnny had the wrong idea of mission and church. He was concerned with the regulations of church membership. His church involved baptism. That cat was getting dunked. He wasn't concerned about making disciples. You know, Jesus wants members of his body, not members of an organization. He wants us to learn day by day. And that's what a disciple is, a learner. Somebody who puts themselves at the feet of Christ and is willing to become a student for eternity. He doesn't say in this commandment in Matthew 28, go, sign up recruits. He says, go, make learners. Encourage people to embark on the journey of discovering who God is. And actually, isn't that what we're all doing? Day by day, as we take up that cross, as we walk that pathway, aren't we learners? Aren't we trying to discover who God is as we go? You know, the best way of making disciples is for them to see effective modelling of discipleship. It's ironic you should talk about modelling this morning and role models. You know, the only reason any of us, regardless of our age, stays in a committed relationship with Christ is because we've encountered him as real. That's why we're in relationship. We've encountered him as real for ourselves. And because he's real to us, we are disciples. We stay in relationship. It's not down to programs. It's not down to strategies. It's because of a real encounter with the living Lord. And without an encounter with Jesus, there is nothing. There is nothing. Discipleship isn't telling people what they should believe. It's encouraging people to know Christ and exploring with them how they can own these beliefs for themselves alongside the normality of life. And most importantly, it's allowing them to see that that is exactly what we're doing too. That's how we role model. If all they hear is a Bible study and a talk, then it means nothing. But if we can give people a sense of who we are as people and how our faith affects us, if they can see our struggles, if they can see our dilemmas, our ups, our downs, our joys, our sorrows, then we're modeling something that is real. You know, showing people who I am, showing people who I am and God in me is a long way from a church program on discipleship. People need to see in my life and yours what discipleship looks like, and they need to see it in the ordinary decisions of life, in our work, in our relationships, and in our family. Our lives speak more than our words do, and those lives should speak about being transformed by Jesus, of working out our faith in him, and being in this together as well, learning alongside each other. Now that's discipleship. And so to all of us, whether we're new soldiers, old soldiers, not soldiers, doesn't matter. I say to us, go. And whether that be intentional going or as we go, go. Become learners. And model that discipleship to the whosoever. Father God, today, as we go from this place, may we go intentionally with the desired purpose of taking the gospel to new places. But may we also go in a manner that, as we go, we promote the gospel in our lives, in our every being, that indeed people will indeed see your face displayed in us, that your likeness will be shown in others. And as we go, may we model that discipleship to all. May we acknowledge that we're learners too, that we're seeking to know you more and love you better ourselves, that we don't have all the answers, but actually we're scholars, students at your feet, looking to learn from you all the time. So Lord, as we go, may you go with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen. Amen.